Medicine Buddha stanza and mantra. For those with the white binder, it's on the blue sheet on the left-hand side. Bhagawan, with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispeller of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. So we chant this seven times. Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha Teyata Om Bekante Bekante Maha Bekante Bekante Raja Samugate Soha. Now let's read the four immeasurables in English three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. I'll turn to page 37, and at the bottom of the page you see two mantras. So the first mantra, Chenrezig, is the Buddha of Great Compassion, and then Green Tara is the deity of enlightened activity. So let's do eight of Chenrezig and seven of Green Tower's mantra. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 No stories. No. Okay, the children are welcome to go to the classes. Thank you.
Good morning. How's the weather? the mantra we just recite. The first mantra, you know, it's called Medicine Buddha Mantra, Medicine Buddha Mantra. According to Tibetan medicines, you know, Tibetan medicine practice, also like all the Tibetan physicians, say they do, you know, practice medicine Buddha practice before they see the patients. They, you know, they do healing practice before they see the patients. They do this part of their highest practice, part of their practice. So all the Tibetan physicians knows this, you know, the healing practice, medicine Buddha practice. All our physical problems, you know, are very much related to our thought, our mind, according to Tibetan medicine practice, which has, you know, thousands of years of histories. Pretty much based on the medicinal plant, no chemical, medicinal plant, all kind of plants, collected from Himalayan mountains. So anyway, we do talk about, you know, healthy body, healthy mind. So what this practice helps to heal physical problem, also to heal mental problems. So I don't mean, when I say mental problem, I don't mean crazy. Mm-hmm. No. So mental problem is, you know, all the disturbing thought is considered as a mental problem. All the disturbing thought is considered as a mental problem. Therefore, life becomes more complicated because of disturbing thought. Not because of the countries or because of the... we always, you know, look something to blame outside. No, so for our problems. So that's not according to Buddhist practice. No, that's not how where you find the solutions. You don't find solutions from outside. You just find solutions within mind.
Mm.
self-centered attitude, you know, my way, highway, that attitude needs to, that's the way all the blame should go on that, not like, you know, someone else, you know, countries, systems, the presidents, or then, you know, so, including myself, we do that all the time, you know, so we do that all the time. Therefore, life has always been complicated. So, this medicine Buddha practice, you know, or healing practice, so to produce healthy mind, healthy body, to produce healthy mind, body. You know. Healthy mind, you know, why mind has not been healthy? Because of these three poisons. Three poison which is considered as a disease or sicknesses or disease. So, attachment, anger, ignorance. Attachment, anger, ignorance. So this is considered as a disease. So, so of course, when we have physical problem, we look for cure. No, so the same. If we discover mental problem, you know, then we should also find the cure too, you know, not just physical problems. So, anyway, so, so there are also one question here, so maybe related to that. mantra is called Nga, Nga. Tibetan word is called Nga. The mantra, that's part of Sanskrit word, mantra. Sacred word. So much energy has been put into that, the person who created that mantra, so much energy is put in there, sacred mantra. So definition of mantra is not like something that you say again and again. News people, they sometimes they also say mantra. To hear? Probably they have no clue. They have no clue about the mantra, meaning of the mantra. Mantra is not something they, of course, mantra you do say again and again, doesn't mean you say again and again become mantra, you know. So otherwise pizza can be mantra, pizza, you can say again and again. So then, you know, that's not mantra. The meaning of the mantra, yi chop, protect your mind. That's the definition of mantra. Protect your mantra. Not also not mantra. Protect the pizza. That's the meaning. Sorry, protect your mind. Yi mind. Chop means protect. Protecting your mind, you know, that is the definition of mantra. See, it's not something that you said again and again. That doesn't mean mantra. So now here, in this case, you know, so you are protecting your mind from these three poisons, which is considered as a disease. Ignorance, attachment, anger, or hatred. So, rangi jiwo, rang means yourself, jiwo means crown, rangi jiwo, sanje means loss. That's where you visualize the healing, you know, the healing figure, what is called medicine Buddha, so there. Right there you see, dark blue. Or you can just visualize, you know, bright, dark blue color. Top of your crown. Then, you know, all the figures, you know, should be the form of light. It's not like solid, you know, form of light. Of course, you know, then according to the practice itself, you visualize seven different healing figures, you know, top of each. So, but you should know, oh, they are going to fall down, you know, just like form of light, it's not like, you know, putting like solid things, so you visualize that. So first, you know, start with the medicine Buddha itself. If you can visualize as a form of medicine Buddha, that's good. If not, you know, visualize some dark, bright blue light that which symbolize the healing energy. So then, you know, actually when you look at the Medicine Buddha, the image, you know, it's like one hand holds like some kind of plant. Maybe is there a plant there? Yeah, it's made in Mongolia. If it's not plant there, maybe plant is eaten by goat. Because this tanga is made in Mongolia. So that plant is like medicinal plant, you know. So then you see the begging bowl there, inside. Because I'm looking in the book, you know, so I don't know how to translate. There's like amrita, in Sanskrit it's called amrita, it means like nectar, it's called nectar, so. The first one is called immortality nectars. Chivamiva seeds, immortality nectars, which has a direct impact on our lifespan. Chivamiva seeds. Naamiva minji disease. So then, the nectar of medicine, medicinal nectars. This is for the sake of knowledge. It is for the sake of knowledge. You know? So the next time somebody asks, you can say something rather than making of something. You can say, if somebody asks you what this tanga is, you can say, oh, this tanga is, you know, for the healing practice, purpose of healing practice. The plant is medicinal plant. The begging bowl is not empty. There's like nectars called amrita. There's not four or three, I don't remember exactly, but you know, there's like first one is immortality nectar, chivameva si duji, navameva minji duji. The navameva minji duji is nectar of medicinal nectar. Medicinal nectar, navameva minji duji. You can look at Google, you can Google them. It's easy, you can Google, you'll find, maybe you'll find the right one or wrong one. Not sure, but you know, you'll find something. Then, sevameva ishika duji means inexhaustible nectars. Oh, sevameva ishika duji. Sevameva ishika duji. Then one I don't remember. Anyway, so there's four, maybe there's four there, maybe there's only three. So when you do practice, you know, you visualize top of your crown, you visualize this bright dark blue light. All the people you can think of, you know, your family, your relatives, you know, your pet, whomever you're thinking, you know, going through difficulties, you can visualize all of them all surrounded by you. Surrounding you, visualize. So then, you know, then you say, you know, mantra, you know, teyata om bekasa bekasa, ma bekasa bekasa, ramza samungate soa. You say that mantra, then simultaneously nectar flows, or these three types of nectar, or maybe four types of nectar flows, like leather beam. Oh, so then, you know, burn everything, you know, all the physical problem, mental problem is burned. Or purify. The mantra is considered a sacred word. It has power. So even though you think, oh, I don't have any power, maybe it's not going to help. No, that's wrong. Mantra has, the practice itself has power. If you do that, you know, it will benefit. You know, so then you can say the mantra before you eat or drink. You can say it, blow. Or then you can say before you take your medication, you can say blow. You check, you know. especially if somebody has high blood pressure, minimize. So it has proof. It minimize. So, you know, so that's the healing practice. I just want to introduce slowly, you know, Sunday, there's most people come here even though we have Wednesday night class, there's like, we kind of try to learn in the court a little bit deeper of Buddhism, so there's less people. Sunday, more people come. So, so then slowly, slowly, you know, I'll introduce, different types of practice. If you are interested, healing practice. So then at the end, then that healing power dissolve into yourself. Healing power dissolve into yourself. So then purify, ne sicknesses, disease, the obstacles created by visible beings or created by invisible beings. So there are beings that we don't see. There are many, many different types of beings around, but we don't see them. Doesn't mean they don't exist. They do exist. Oh. Even the human. So, we are not only human on this planet. There are three different realms of human realms. No? We don't see them. That doesn't mean they don't exist. They do exist. Oh. We are one of them. We are one of them. So there are probably many. So, so now eventually scientists are talking about as a three-dimensional universe. What they call? Multiple universe or something like that. Huh? Yeah. I think one person asked Chinden Rinpoche, probably some of you met here, Chinden Rinpoche did come here. So some of the monks from monastery, now he's teaching in Australia, he did ask Chinden Rinpoche, do not so many things explain so many different parts of the universe. The universe has been explained in the Buddhist teachings. He was wondering, he asked Chinden Rinpoche, do they really exist? So Chinden Rinpoche answer is now scientists have to be, like they did not reach the last, how is it, they need to improve. Science needs to be improved. It's not like, there's no question about whether they exist or not exist, simply because science don't see them. Science needs to improve. Eventually, they will discover it. They will discover it, maybe based on machines, or I'm not sure what, like. So, they means sicknesses, sicknesses. Then, is like obstacles created by visible beings, invisible beings, purifies, okay? They do dig deep. The bad feelings, dig deep, bad feelings, negative karma, everything purifies. So this is, if you are interested, that's how the practice has been done. Visualize bright blue light, top of your crown. So then while you're saying the mantra simultaneously, nectar flows like leather beams. So then purify all the sicknesses, obstacles, or like bad feelings, so then, like negative actions been completely purified, not just yourself, then all the people you are visualizing around you. So then it's become productive meditation rather than just sitting there, sitting here but going to the flea market. Body is here, then mind is going around the flea market. So then, this is it's just called sitting, it's not really meditation, so. Maybe every Sunday we should do that, then it benefits, okay? So it benefits, so. And people, when we say, Tujhe Kula Nyumbi, Chum Dende, Tsensam Tibi, Midu Dungasi, just hearing the name of, the healing figures purifies. Tujhe Kula Nyumbi, Chum Dende, Tsensam Tibi, Midu Dungasi, Tuxum Nese, eliminate three poisons, which is considered sicknesses, eliminate. You don't see here, but in Asia, people do wear this lapis, what's called lapis? Huh? Lapis lazuli? Yeah, lapis lazuli. That's a word that's a little bit complicated for me to say. Lapis lazuli. So they wear. They wear, because that color, the color, Therefore, in the altar, in the monastery, all the back of the altar has been painted bright blue. It's kind of, you know, like healing, you know, healing the colors, like I'm healing. Oh. So that's why they wear, you know, they cherish that stone, they wear, you know. So a long time ago, so like in 1991 or 92, I was in Switzerland with some of my friends. And one of them is like color therapies. That time I have no clue at all. I thought it's kind of crazy, you know. I did really thought it's kind of crazy. Then she has office and there's like hundreds of different types of colors. And she's doing like color therapies. So, you know, people pay a lot of money to come there, you know, to his color therapy. So then I say, oh, this is just ridiculous. And I thought, just this doesn't make sense. How you heal people through color. So now, when you think about medicine with the practice, yeah, color does have, you know, does possess healing. Healing has energy. You know? Oh, yeah. So then, that's it. Then, maybe before I read the question, please, would you mind to take like one moment to introduce yourself to each other? So then after that, I will read these questions, or a few questions. Sorry. Thank you. So I'll read these three questions. I think this is good, you know. I will highly encourage you to ask questions. So ask questions. Doesn't mean I have all the answers, but, you know, ask questions then through Q&A. So, you know, so then rather than based on one book's particular books, then you know the books, you know, then it goes on and on and on, then people get bored. If you ask questions, so then that's the probably best way to, you know, to have like discussions about practices. Okay.
How do we give you those questions?
Just yeah.
Who do I get to explain? I'll take a moment to explain.
So
you can always come and ask me on Sunday morning. If you don't see me out in the big desk that's right across from the door, the concierge desk, there's a on the front part where there are different things hanging, there are forms, questions for Geshe-la, and you can either put them on his table, give them to me, or put them in a little red box if you're here sometime besides Sunday morning. Those are all good ways. Or you can email me. Or tell Jill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, I was looking at this. You can email them on the website. There's a place for questions.
Yeah, there's also a place for questions on the website.
Even though question is on my desk, but it's for all of us. If I cannot answer, then it falls in your bag. Some of the question is based on the textbook, so I can quite easily answer that because, you know, that I already learned. So that doesn't mean that I have experience, you know, I just learn. So now the first one here, please would you translate into the English the mantra, Teyata Omuni Muni Mamuni Soha. That's the mantra, you know, Shakyamuni Buddha mantra we chant every morning here. Some of you may wonder why we chant mantra. I'm trying to come up with some, you know, something that, you know, I don't have to talk. Then till I don't have to say anything, but don't have to, receiving benefit without saying word, without me saying, you know, talking. So that's you know, I come up with this idea, you know, which is especially these kids, you know. So now the kids learn Tara mantra, Shakyamuni Buddha mantra, Kabeshi Buddha mantra is very good, you know. So I don't have to say anything; they just said now when you look at them, they recite. So, and maybe that's why, you know, it's very hard to teach them, to, you know, because, of course, you know, when you are that age, it's not easy, it's the same, you know. So, it's not, so then, receiving them benefit without saying much, you know. So that's why one idea why we recite this mantra. So then, reciting mantra, and how often we say the same word? How often we say? How often? Let's say 100 people, how often we say the same word? We don't say it. Probably once a while, I'm not sure what kind of that word be. What word you say altogether? Besides mantra, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyway, collective consciousness. When we all say together the sacred mantra, it generates so much power. Benefits, no? It benefits. So there's Teyata Omuni Muni Mahamuni Soha, this the mantra of Shakyamuni Buddha, founder of the Buddhism. So Teyata, you know, it's like likewise. Is it correct? Oh yeah. How do you say? Like? Or oh, likewise. So Om, you know, this is you know, probably you people here, most people are doing yoga, so you probably heard this word many times. Om. But Tibetan, you know, this is the Om, you see. But it looks pretty much same like the Sanskrit, you know, Sanskrit, but Tibetan letters copy based on the Sanskrit. This is called Om here. You see there's three letters. The first one here, first one, the big one, symbolizes body, A. So then the looks like mustache. So that symbolizes U symbolizes speech. Then the round one, this one round one, that symbolize mind. So then three letters become Om. A, U, Ma. A, U, Ma become Om. When you say Om, you are thinking of a body, speech, and mind. Om. So, also there's another sacred word, believe or not, saying just word Om, there's a lot of benefit, you know. It protects, benefit, the main benefit is to protect your mind, That's the definition of mantra, Om. So, your body, speech, and mind, and the body, speech, and mind, body, speech, and mind of Buddha. Idea is to become one. You know, become one, pure, you know, pure, you know, pure, become one. Oh. Om. Deyata, likewise, deyata, Om. Mune, mune means, you know, as a tuba. Tuba? How you talk, mune? What is mune? Meaning of mune? Some of you remember? Huh? Mune means tuba. Tuba means, you know, like, say, here is not like mundane battles, not battle with the disturbing thought. You kind of conquer, disturbing thought. Then you, that's called, that's the meaning of the tuba, means conquer. What? Disturbing thought. Oh, they are the Om Mune, Mune Mune, Tuba Tuba. You know, that first one, because in the afflictions, klesha in Sanskrit, afflictions. When you look at in the test book, there's so many different types of afflictions, klesha. Oh. Sanya took 6 root afflictions. Sanya took 22nd degree afflictions. There's many of them, many of them. Oh, it's not just one. So some of them obscure you to achieve liberations. So then first, they are on mune, first mune, conquer.
Conquered.
So you know, so tuba, to conquer. The first one is like conquered of obscurations that mainly obscure you to achieve liberations. Second one is obscure you to achieve the full enlightenment. That's why there's 2 of them. They are the Muni Muni, Maha Muni. So Maha, Mahatma Gandhi, Maha means, you know, great, you know, great, Mahamudra, Mahasiddhi, Mahatma Gandhi, also Maha means, you know, means great, Mahayana, you know, the great vehicle, Maha means great. Then great has the concord, whatever you say. Soha. Huh? No, last one, soha. So maybe there's a mix of like, white, or like that, likewise, or like that. No?
So be it,
like that, okay. This is it. So that's the first question. So whoever asked, and thank you very much. So now here, the second one, then third one, no? I'll keep the last, this is the last one, so then we need to discuss. So now, how does saying mantra benefit our mind? As I said, you know, when you look at the definition of mantra, is protect your mind. You have to be mindful. You can't just, you know, like mumble the word. You might get some benefit, but if you think about the meaning of the mantra, protect your mind. As I said, the mantra is sacred word. So, mm, when you say it, you know, I don't have experience. I don't have experience at all. But you know, when you say it, I do say a mantra. When you say it, in the end, everybody wish to feel good, right? Everybody wish to feel good. Everybody wish to feel happy. But that happiness doesn't come from nothingness. It comes from something. We need to do something in order to feel good. You know? Otherwise, then everybody, if the happiness come from without cause and conditions, then everybody should be happy. Everybody should be happy all the time. Why that's not happening? It's produced by thinking, or maybe saying the sacred word. There's one person. So he went to see lamas. One lamas, and he was this kind of like renowned, famous lama. So he went there maybe with a thought. Maybe I should ask him some sacred mantra to say. And he went there, and he has big nose. So what do you call this? Some have some nose, and there's so many like pimples. Not the pimples, like kind of like three dimensional pimples. So, some people get here, some people, you know, but they're kind of like, it's not just pimple, you know, like flat, it's like the solid one.
Huh?
Yeah. It's very interesting. So that reminds me another story, so if you don't mind me to tell. There's one monk in the monastery. Sometimes you have to eliminate the cause. If you don't eliminate the cause, moving things here, there doesn't change. You know? For example, there's one monk, you know, he's from Tibet, you know, like, and he has something here, big one. What do you call mold?
Probably a mold.
Yeah, big one.
Yeah.
But you know, he has hair. You know, it doesn't look good, but he has hair. It kind of covers, you know, when hair grows. The monks, when you put your hand like this, if the hair comes out of here, it's time to cut. You are not allowed to, according to Vinayaka Sutras, you are not allowed to keep your hair above here. When it's coming out here, it's time to cut. You know, unless if you're doing lifelong retreat, then you don't need to worry. You know? So that's why they have hair like all this long. No need to worry. That's called the hair of the retreat. Then you have no time to cut it up. That's the exception. So, so he has this big thing on his head. Then it doesn't look that great, you know. So it's better to not have that one. But he already has one. So did some treatment eliminated that. It's gone, now it's eliminated. All of a sudden it comes here. Now it's here. But there's no hair to cover. It's very interesting, you know, so like, if you don't eliminate the cause, doesn't mean moving here, but it'll probably appear here or here, but then it's too late, there's nothing to cover. Anyway, so that monk has the big nose and all this different. So you remember, like, rosary, there's many different types of rosary. One is called Raksha. That's kind of like, not even, it's kind of like, how is it? Yeah, beads that has a lot of, like, same like this. Huh? Yeah, Raksha is called, it's called Raksha. No? So then monks came to Lama and requesting the mantra, sacred mantra. Lama said, your nose looks like Raksha. So nose looks like Raksha, like the beads, you know, like. He thought that's a mantra. He thought that Lama taught him mantra. Then he keeps saying that, you know, your nose looks like Raksha, above this, he's saying that. Somehow then, Lama got some kind of infection in his throat inside, some kind of like pimple, then there's a lot of pus and blood, something like that. So did all kind of the medicine doesn't help. So then attendants say, oh, in that town, there's one man who's saying this mantra and very powerful, he's healing a lot of people. So should I invite him here? So Lama said, yes, no, maybe we can try. No. So then he invited, and turns out there are very monks there who comes to ask him to mantra. So then when he said the mantra, Lama just laughed. When he laughed out of burst, how is it?
Burst out laughing.
All of a sudden, the Pimba got burst too, and he was healed. But Ben is saying that my nose looks like Russia. That's what he's saying. It's not mantra. So you never know that. Never knows. You know. Causes and conditions. Never knows. So causes and conditions. So then like how is the Kuru is like there's one deity, particular deity called Kuru. The mantra you should supposed to recite the mantra like Om Kili Kili, not Tili Tili. Kili Kili. That's how you pronounce correctly, Kili Kili. One person is pronouncing incorrectly, not saying Kili Kili, saying Tili Tili. So then somebody notice that he's saying incorrectly, then say, oh, no, no, you are saying the mantra incorrectly. That's not how you say. You say, Kili Kili, no, Tili Tili. And he told him, come here, I'll show you. Whether I pronounce correctly, incorrectly, you know. Then he has this piece of, what do you call this, pulpa, piece of metal, you know, so that yogi, they hold that, they keep that, you know, for their practice. Kind of like short sword.
Dagger.
So he has that, and he took him to the near to the rock, big piece of rock. He said, look at, hold this, and he pronounced incorrectly. Om Tili Tili pushed, and it went inside the rock. So that's the mantra I've been saying, whether it's correct, pronounced correctly, incorrectly, that's the mantra I said then. You know, so it's all on the mind. It's in the mind. So now this question is two part. So now, how does saying the Heart Sutra benefit us? Very good question. So Heart Sutra. When you look at the subject, the main subject is emptiness. And as I said this a little bit last Sunday. What is the source of our problem? What is the source? What is the source of our problem?
Ignorance.
So, do you agree with him? What is the source? Why we have problem? Why?
Objection.
Not because we wish suffering. No, nobody wish suffering. Why we wish, huh?
The ego?
Ego. Ignorance, ego.
Wrong values.
Huh?
Wrong values.
Oh, that's interesting. Wrong values. So,
shall you always say
government?
No.
Or neighbors?
No.
Or neighbors like what is the machine that cut grass? What do you call? Neighbors lawnmower. What is the source of all the problems? So, ignorance, ego. What now? The question is: what is ego? What is ego? Is it body? Or is it brain? What is ego? So now, what you said? What you said?
Wrong values.
Can you please explain what that means? Wrong value means?
Well, we appreciate a lot of things that are worldly.
I said wrong values, so they're a problem for us because we appreciate the things of the world, we appreciate our and we wrap our identity up in those things that are mine. And so I make my identity based on the things that I have, and I value those things, my house, my car, my new toys, and my new whatever our long-cherished desires, and we value those things more so than our spiritual life, more so than our transcendence, more so than our sangha, and sometimes, and it's all mixed up, but we want to change the way we value things, and we want to value the right things more than we value the wrong things.
That's interesting, because the reason I said interesting because I never heard that before, so that's why. Sometimes people just interesting doesn't mean they have no interest, right?
Right.
They give you some new food, then say, how it tastes? Interesting. So that means it's not so. It's not so. So when I said I never heard that, that's why I said interesting. Huh? In Mexico, they said interesting. That means they have no interest. Interesting means they have not. It's not very interesting. That's why they say it's interesting. Huh? So, Mr. James, what do you think? Source of all the problems. Source of all the problems, our problem, yeah.
I thought ignorance.
Negative thought. Ego. Yeah.
Attachment. Attachment. I always thought ego was like the little eye.
So now the question is, what we should do? What we should do? What we can do. Ignorance, I said, not what the, what he said?
Wrong values.
Yeah, wrong values, egos, attachment,
anger.
What we can do? What we should do? That's the question, what we should do. Anger, of course, that's set of teachings. They explain patience. So, very interesting. Heart Sutra, the main subject is emptiness. But the translation is not that great. But there's no alternative translations for the word tomani. Is it not like emptiness? Kind of like a very profound subject. You know, it's a very complicated one. You know, they don't. First of all, I myself don't understand that very clearly. And on top of that, giving explanation to others, is going to be not easy. The teaching of emptiness, why is so important? Because root of the problem. So, according to Buddhism, root is ignorance. Something is called fundamental confusion, ignorance. When we say I am not happy, so I've been treated unfairly, I'm dead and all this, so many research has been done, so many books have been written about that, who is complaining? I. Does that I have beginning or end? True question. And how you define? That's the core. That's the most important thing. How you define. So you can go through. You can go through my eye, my head, my face, my hand, my leg, my tummy. You can go through. Any of this is I or not. So then what is I? What is self? Chinam chenams, chi, external things that we see, you know, like shape, color, smell, taste, tactile, sound, everything that we see and we get stress or we get anxiety, we get pleasures, we get all kinds of things based on those five objects. We get all kinds of things, mixed things, pleasure, pleasant, unpleasant, all kinds of things based on shape and color, smell, taste, tactile, color, sound. We all get all kinds of things. Chinang, so that's external, chin chi, external object. Nang, internal. Chinam is all the phenomena, internal phenomena, external phenomena. Guma, like illusions. Does it make sense? It's not solid as we think. It's illusions. It is like, not illusion, it is like illusions. It is like dream. It is like echo. Echo? It is like mirage. Mirage, sand and the heat create mirage. Even though it looks like water, it's not water. It's just hallucinations. Basically, Chinachana, Jumamela, the Pavetsona, Dazu Pavetsona, Pavetso, clear lakes, that probably refers to nature of mind. Nature of mind is considered as a clear lake. Chinachana, Jumamela, the Pavetsona, Dazu, Chichin, Dazu, it reflects. Everything reflects on that. Everything reflects on that. That reflection looks exactly like moon. For example, moon reflects the clear lake. It looks like moon, but it's not moon. Everything reflects on the clear lake, which is the nature of mind. It reflects on our mind. It looks solid, absolute, inherent, absolutely evil. There's no such a thing called absolute evil. It's just level. So then, top of that, 99% is projected. One person probably is there, but 99% is projected. Chinachana Jumamela the Tanya the Dazu. Chijindu Nangyang. That's what we see. These looks exactly like moon, but it's not moon. But that's what it looks like. Naya Dhamanivasu, but it looks like that, but it's not. You may think this about changing laws, like then asking, you know, so like asking the, please bless me to able to see that. Bless me to able to see that. You know, like, So that's nothing serious. We just made it up. So, you know, the babies, when they see things, that's not to see, this is just see. This is not to see this. So then we become so sophisticated, so educated, then we level, then everything becomes so, how is it, like, serious. Then problem with that, we become so serious. So kind of we forgot how to smile. You know? And, yeah, Chinachana Jumata. Jumetinzi means concentration like illusions. Concentration like illusions. Jumetinzi. It looks exactly like that, but it's not. So that's, therefore it's very, very important to look at the things from the holistic view. Holistic view, not just one like narrow minded, just this is absolute evil. Just back up a little bit and look at from holistic view. Why things are happening, you know, why this is happening. There's no so many different reasons why things are happening. It looks absolute, but it's not absolute. It's just relative. It's interdependent, it's not absolute. You know, that's our perceptions. That's not absolute good, you know. One process is good, one process is not good. who's true, who's right, who's right, who is right. Because the one object can be good and bad both, you know, these are contradictions. And who's right? It's all perceptions. But we don't think like that. It's all perceptions. When you think of it like that, then good and bad is like, it's like illusions. It's just coal. It's just coal, somebody coal. You know, Tibetan butter tea is delicious. For some people, it's like yagi. Who's right? Tibetan or American? Who's right? Hard to say. Like illusions. Chili pepper. Some people really enjoy it. It has to be hot, hottest, the best. And some people is just suffering. No. who's right, who's wrong? Hard to say. Right? Perception. Therefore, everything is like illusions. You just you know. So now the difference between person who has deeper understanding of emptiness and person who does not have any understanding of emptiness, difference between that is like magician and the audience. Magicians, you know, not here, I don't know, like here you do have magicians, but ancient times the magicians based on like, you know, some kind of like they probably, you know, some mantra they do, you know, so then they like, they kind of like change the environment, so they probably decide, okay, maybe 1 mile, 1 mile or 2 mile, whoever walks in, their eyes already tricked. So what they do, they use piece of wood and piece of stone, they created elephants. What is it? It's just piece of wood. Audience, what do you see? You see elephants. What magicians see? Elephants. Different magicians don't believe what he sees. Audience, you believe what you see. And all kind of emotion rise like that, no? People who see emptiness, they see, like us, everything. But at the same time, they see it like illusions. It's nothing serious. But not, we don't just see, we see them very serious. So it's like that, you know, right from the beginning, naturally, right from the beginning, nothing is solid or serious. But we label at our perceptions, but we don't analyze. And when we get so upset, we don't analyze, who is upsetting? We don't analyze. Then we don't get benefit. That's why the reciting Heart Sutra is very powerful, because emptiness is, you know, it's like the thinking about emptiness, meditating on emptiness is the cutting the root of all the problems, or root of all the problems, not knowing how self exists. So then based on that, you know, then everything builds up, based on that, it's just hallucinations, you know. So I'm so happy we don't analyze. We don't analyze. We just go with that. We don't analyze. Especially when you get upset, you know. I'm so angry. We don't analyze. We, including myself, we don't analyze. So, you know. So therefore, this, you know, Heart Sutra is very powerful. So. Because of the subject, it is emptiness, because of that. Oh. So emptiness does not mean nothingness. It means something very profound we don't know. Doesn't mean nothingness. It means something very profound. Oh. So scientists, you know, so scientists, particularly quantum science, when they analyze matters, so their conclusion, nothing now exists. So that's called nihilism. So right there, Nagarjuna, theory of emptiness starts. No, something exists. It's not nothing exists, something exists. Doesn't exist the way we think, way we perceive, but something exists. That's called true truth. Conventional truth, ultimate truth. These are just conventional. It's not ultimate. Ultimate truth, conventional truth, true truth. True truth. Make sense? True truth. Ultimate truth, consummation of truth. Oh. There's like two wings. So, so then from there, you know, four noble truth, then 12, it then goes on and on and on. Oh. Like that. So that's the second one. So now only 9 minutes left. So the last one, this is a very important one. So how to deal with persistent self-hatred and negative thought. So that word, self-hatred. When His Holiness first heard this word, he was shocked. He heard this word in the West, not in Asia, in the West. So, what is cause this kind of mindset, caused by what? Just set aside the negative thought, the self-hatred. Something to do with the culture or traditions? Don't know. So, as I said probably a thousand times, samsara. You know, samsara, cyclic existence. Samsara. Very important to reach. What is samsara? Samsara is not a place. It's like cycles. There, nothing is perfect. Nothing. Doesn't matter millionaire, billionaire, or like professor, educated, engineer, rocket scientist. Nothing is perfect. President all the way to newborn child. Nothing is perfect. Need to understand that very clearly. Nothing is perfect. Everybody has problems. Everybody, including myself, everybody has problems, all kind of problems. I wish I would be happy all the time. That's not going to happen. Sorry, my friend, that's not going to happen. But it will happen if you put effort. You could liberate. You could liberate yourself. There's a thing called liberation, enlightenment. You could liberate yourself. There's a way out. But is that easy? It's not easy. No, it's not easy. No pain, no gain. There's no easy. So, need to be practical. Practical? Mm-hmm. Need to be practical. Need to understand, I get headache because I have head. If you don't have head, you don't get headache. You know, so there's nothing much to blame. You know, so... If your head is metal, solid metal, you'll never get headache. It's not like that. Foundation is there, whether we like or not. You get old, you die. Yeah, that's part of the life. There's nothing much you can do. Self-hatred. So nobody's perfect. Everybody has tons of problems. Everybody's trying very hard to be happy. To be healthy, but still, there's no problem. So, self-hatred. So, then, from emptiness point of view, everything is like illusions. There's no absolute beauty, absolute ugly, absolute good, absolute good. It's all perceptions. It's all our perceptions. So, here in America, if you are like heavy, big, then it's not considered as good. In India, people try very hard to become big. So the monks, when I invited them, like maybe not 10 years ago, so they're drinking a lot of Coke and Pepsi every day, so they're trying to gain weight. So then when they go back, then people will say, you had a wonderful time. So it's all perceptions. look at the pant. What's it called? Pant that you wear? Pants. Huh? Pants. Long time ago, big mouth, like this. Looks so fashion. Now somebody wear how it looks? No. Now you wear this big one. Oh, what is, how it looks like? Does it look fashionable?
No.
It used to be very, people are dying for that, to get one to wear. So now, nobody wants. Perceptions. Perceptions. So, all these women dressed like peacock, all of them, like now, who wears? Nobody wears. Change our perceptions. That's what I call is perception. It's not from its own side, it's just people just level. People just level, you know. It's no longer cool. Cool? Cool? No longer cool. So now, what you say? Please say something. Our self-hatred caused by what? Nobody, including myself, none of us profit. None of us profit. We get angry, we cross, we say things, you know, so what do you do? Like, five steps backward, four, two steps forward, they're good, at least we are moving forward. So we do what we can do. And certain things we can do, we can, what we can do, there's nothing we can do. So, we need to be practical, practical. So please, you know, say something. You know, say, so this is question for, this is very heavy questions. So, and, yeah. Also,
one of the things I think of, people struggle with self-hatred. It's a problem of identity, and it's a long conversation. But we talk about ego and we talk about identity. But we're, as conditioned people, we are convinced that I am this body and I am this mind and I have these desires and I want to fulfill that. That's the plan of the conditioned person is I have these desires and I'm going to fulfill those desires. And as long as we think that that's all we are, that doesn't serve our higher purpose. And so we remain conditioned. And so they're not entirely wrong to be upset with that kind of identity, with that kind of ego. But we feel very frustrated in that. But if we realize, if we try to understand that we have a higher purpose, that we have a higher inner life, and that there are higher beings that have a purpose for that life, then we see ourselves like they see us. If we think, well, my guru, he has a plan for my life, then he sees something in me that I don't see. The Lord has a plan for me, something I don't see, and they value us in a way that we don't value ourselves. So if we see ourselves from their perspective, and we see I have a chance to become a transcendental person, I have a chance to become a person like that can help other people, and I can see the world not in illusion, but I see the world in a way that's reality, then I'll be able to help other people. If we make our identity, if we remember that side of our identity, even intellectually, emotionally, maybe we do feel upset with ourselves. Maybe emotionally we hate ourselves. But at least intellectually, we can remember and we try to make it our identity that I have a higher thing that I'm going to grow into. And that will happen by somebody else's grace. That'll happen by my effort and someone else's grace. Those things will come together. And I'll become that. And then that thing is going to be a really good thing. Mm. So no reason to hate ourselves because we judge ourselves about what we're going to, by our future. Don't judge ourselves by our past. Don't judge ourselves by our present. We should be generous with others and generous with ourselves. And then we don't have to be upset with ourselves.
Mm, very good. Very good. Very good. Yeah. That lady on there. Yeah.
I think it's important to try to view ourselves the way we see somebody that we love, whether it's like a close family member or a friend. You know, you see all of the parts of that person, you know them really well, but you also see the parts you think might be negative, but you don't hate the person because you see those parts. You can acknowledge they're there, but you just know that's part of the person, and I think it's important to try to see yourself in the same way.
Oh, very good, wonderful, yeah.
I've been sitting here, is this on? Okay. I've been sitting here for a while thinking of selfishness, and some of what I have wanted to say has already been said, but touching on it more, I believe that the less we know ourselves, the more selfish we are, seeking purpose in whatever without coming to a realization of our true identities. And I believe that in order to do that requires being willing to really look at ourselves in depth. And sometimes we don't do that because of fear. We fear what we might see or what we might think or feel, whatever. And I think as we become more open to helping each other build upon our strengths and our true selves, the less selfish we become and the more we want to be able to help others, the more we want to be able to do good, the more we want to improve ourselves. And we can do so without fear and without the feeling of selfishness. And I just think it's really important to understand ourselves. And for myself, this is something I've been struggling with for many years. And more recently, I've been becoming more aware of who I really am. Notwithstanding, I still have a ways to go. But the more aware I become, the more at peace I become with myself. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Please go to message 1 second. The person who is asking this question, if you are experiencing that and I sympathize with you, you know, then I, based on your question, every day I say prayer, you know, so then I dedicate it for all the people who come to Kodama Sena, not just that, you know, whoever is struggling with physically problem, mental problem, I pray for them every single day. I pray, you know, whatever prayer I said, I dedicate it for that. So that's practically, you know, like, as a friend, that's what we can do, practically. So, and I think that's one important thing. If you are a believer, whoever asking this question, if you are a believer, you believe probably in something, you know. So, in my case, as a Buddhist, I believe in Buddha. I believe in Shakyamuni Buddha. So, then I believe what he says, you know, all his teachings. I have great respect towards Buddha based on his teaching, particularly on teaching of emptiness. And I have, you know, I admire, I have great respect. So then I truly believe, if I put effort, if I see emptiness, I will be liberated. I have faith in that. I have faith in that. But, you know, I'm lazy. So still that's why I'm still not liberated. And I truly believe if I put effort into this teaching, particularly emptiness teaching, I could liberate. And I could see, or if somebody put effort, you could see emptiness, you know, but it's, even though it's so difficult to see, but you could make progress, you know. If I think the exact way to explain, I think, then I will be liberated. So, then that Buddha also said, you know, so, actor and actions need to be separated. You know, so if you believe your action and yourself is same, there's not much hope. So what we call from Buddhist point of view, what we call Buddha nature. Everybody, we possess everybody. I'm not just saying that this makes you happy, but that's the truth. Buddha nature, you know, true nature, pure. True nature of mind is pure. It's like clear sky. Temporarily, a lot of cloud there, but it's not inseparable with the sky. So it's same, a lot of cloud. It's like diamond buried under the ground. But there's so much to, in order to see the diamond, there's so much dirt to, clean. But diamond itself, even though it's under the dirt, it is not dirt. It's not part of dirt. is diamond. When it's break, it's diamond. It's never going to be not diamond. It's a diamond. So like pure true nature of mind is like that. Doji. Doji phalam. Doji phalam. In Tibet it's called doji phalam. Diamond. It's like cover. It's cover. Something very so valuable covered by dirty cloth. But when you're able to unveil, and there is, you know, something that's precious, you know, it's like that. So action and actor need to be separated. Tuba, Buddha. Tube nimo tase, nimo tante khasa means. Enlightened being sees afflicted mind as a problem, not the person. Afflicted mind, that's the problem, not the person. Person can become enlightened. Regardless, man, woman, Tibetan, American, everybody has potential to become enlightened. So that needs to be understood. So, what he says, you know, like, we don't see things from their point of view. Their point of view, this is called precious human life. I'm not just making this up. You know, this has been said, repeatedly said. Hundreds of years ago, repeated said, you know. This is like boat, vessels, capable to cross the oceans. Refers to all the problems. This is boat capable to cross. You can't just sit around, not to sail. It's time to sail. It's time to sail. Sail across the oceans. Me too. Latin in do not show chilitos. You may not find that boat. This boat is not easy to find. Once you have this boat, time to sail. Shanti Deva said. In the Guide to Buddhist Way of Life, so that text has been composed around 8th century, many, many centuries ago. We are 21st century, many, many centuries ago. So, there's many things, you know. So like the meaningful, so difficult to find, so precious. Do you believe that? What do you think? The text is said repeatedly. That's what people should think. Precious human life. Precious. Not like something, you know, like, oh, something to hate. And when you remember something that you did something wrong, what do? You purify them. You don't just sit around and feel bad. You purify them. You know, you can turn this prayer wheel outside with, you know, altruistic intention. You turn that prayer wheel. As the read the Shanti Deva dedication was the last one, that stanza. No, not that one. The wherever all the beings are.
May all beings everywhere
plagued
by suffering the body and mind.
That one, okay. Yeah.
May all beings everywhere plagued by suffering the body and mind obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits.
So then recite that, turn the prayer wheel, go around the stupa, that's how you purify. Not just you, everywhere. People are struggling physically, mentally, much thousands of worse than you. You know, like fighting with addictions. Can you imagine that? And there's so many, what you call, mental problems, like as the ADT, so what do you call this?
Yeah,
then what else? There's many, many, like, can't get rid of thought that comes again and again and again. Like, you know, just hearing that, you know, so you don't have that. Just when you hear something like that, there's really practical, there's nothing much you can do. But, you know, there are many people like that. It's all relatives, you know. People in Haiti, they're eating dirt cookie. Can you imagine that? Make cookie out of dirt. Put maybe some sugar or something. That's what they're eating. Here, what you eat, like, when you go to every supermarket, tons of food. Everything relative, everything relative, everything is relative. So there's so much to be grateful, and at the same time, they know if you could make life, your life miserable quite easily. You can make your life miserable quite easily, even though you live in one of the richest countries in America, you could still make your life miserable. So you know, could be obstacles. Hard to say, I don't know. In that case, then recite, you know, Heart Sutra and Heart Sutra mantra, then do two claps and do some practice. So it's very, very strong word, self-hatred. That's really strong, heavy word. It's very heavy. It's not, you know, something like light. It's very heavy, you know, like if you say, oh, I don't like myself, that doesn't last very long, you know, not last very long. But self-hatred, that's like deep down. So, and please, you know, like whenever you get time, then group and discuss, like maybe something to do with the culture or traditions or something that you, something to do with your belief or I don't know. But according to Buddhism, there's not such a thing called, like, you know, like innate bad, innate evil. No, not. Everybody has, you know, Buddha natures. Everybody has Buddha natures. So I will pray, and, you know, and it, like, my suggestions, you know, not my order, my suggestions could be obstacles. So then if there's obstacles, then you recite Heart Sutra. Then, you know, think about emptiness, and think, read, and think, think about, you know, what I said, you know, everything is like illusions. It's nothing is serious. We just made it up, you know, so. Oh yeah, so with that, so now, 12, time is way past, so thank you very much, all your comments, so then please put more questions, okay, right? Thank you. Dedication.
So in the Go Prayer Book, please turn to page 246 and we'll read the dedication prayer. And this is from Master Shantideva's Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And it's on the back of the Kadamba Center prayer sheet if you have the white binder. 246. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferance of body and mind, obtain a notion of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see form and the deaf hear sound. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drink. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be free. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other for as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain. Until then, may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha.
So just a couple of really quick announcements. Today is a day if you're interested in becoming a member, that we have membership orientation, and Jill will be leading that. Jill, will that be here in the Gompa? Or okay. So if you just want to stick around and gather in the back of the Gompa, she will help you out with that, and you can learn all about it and sign up as a member. Also, I wanted to let you know about a great opportunity. We have a book that was somebody had provided at the Light of the Path retreat, and we have it here now. This is a copy of the Vajracutter Sutra that is in large type that can be traced over. So it's we have it out on a little table out in the front. Actually, it's just been out for a few days, and it's almost filled up, but I think we're going to get some more. So if you wanted to do that, it's just beneficial to, you know, it's kind of meditative to do, and you're in the, there's a little explanation out there, but you're in the process of repeating the words of the Buddha, which is very beneficial, and it creates the cause to become a teacher yourself. So we'll have that out there, and that's on the little table just past the large conference table. Vivian has something, and then Hemant.
Good morning. I am talking to you today about the children's program. About almost 6 years ago, I came here with my 3-year-old daughter, and I came for time for me, and it was an hour a week I could get to myself with her being taken care of. But it was also lovely because she was getting the teachings, and teachings early. And so her life will be dramatically changed because of what she's receiving here. So I'm asking you to consider, whether you have children here or not, to give time, maybe once a month, just to volunteer and help guide the children in the children's program. We have like a room parent for every level. There's the pre-K, which is just hanging out with a bunch of lovely little ones. And they need like a room parent, you know, like a volunteer to kind of corral all of the volunteers for that level. We have the early elementary, and then we have the later second grade through fourth graders. They have a leader, but we need a leader for high school. And that's basically just helping organize the people who are volunteering on that level. And if you're interested, please see Christy or, you know, come talk to me. And then we are also organized. There's a remind app. I don't know if anyone's familiar with that. But it's just a nice way that you can kind of text each other and know what's going on. And we're a lovely group. We hang out. We talk. The parent group that we meet on, I think it's the third Friday of every month, we come and talk. And these are real conversations. We come and we really talk about what matters, what's really important. And heartfelt when we raise our children, because it's a big job and no one can do it alone. Mm. And so for this, for me and my family, this is our village. And I think I see, you know, parents that I've, you know, kind of walked alongside of in raising our children here together. And you are our village. So please be part of our village and consider volunteering.
And now I think Hemant has some words of wisdom.
I have no wisdom right now. my name is Hemant, as Donna just mentioned. And for the last few weeks, we've heard about the growing success of our annual appeal. And so I'd like to share why I give to Kadampa Center. So I'll start by saying that I'm very thankful and privileged that my karma has led to Kadampa Center for many reasons. One being that we receive such authentic teachings from our precious Geshe-la, Geshe Sangpo, our venerables, and not to forget all the teachers that teach various programs. So I'm extremely thankful for that. Another thing that comes to my mind is that as a member of Board of Directors at Kadampa Center for several years, I have seen personally how money is efficiently spent for the center. So besides paying the mortgage and paying the electricity and water, you see this beautiful deity or statue of Lama Tisha. You see this beautiful Tara statues. You see the beautiful stupa, all to benefit us. Okay? It's not just there to be there for no reason. It's to benefit us. So I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful for all the volunteers at Kadampa Center. It's mind-blowing if you were to see behind the scene all the work that goes on. Somebody maintains the property. Somebody goes around the stupa and cleans it up. Somebody does the bathroom. Gary's sitting right here, right? So, and somebody's organizing some things. You look at Donna, so many programs, teachers coming. There's so much work that goes on, and so I'm very thankful for them. And what kind of mindset is that? What a positive mindset that they just volunteer their time and effort. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful personally for meeting many Dharma friends, brothers and sisters, because I have personally grown from it and learned so many things from them. So I'm very thankful for them. On the personal side, Patty and I have been coming here for several years now, and I've seen such a personal transformation or spiritual growth in our own lives. I've experienced it. You know, so I'm just I don't have, so I can go on and on for why I'm so thankful and why I give. And so I want this place to flourish, to grow, and hopefully you guys who have not met, you will meet your teachers here. It is ultimately leads towards your own liberation. So this is a very fortunate time that we are here. This is for me personally very fortunate. So I want to thank you for your ongoing support so that the Kadampa Center can flourish. And with that, we have some good news, and that is we are getting very close to meeting our goals, the appeal goals, and we have a new challenge. And I will allow Jill, our center manager, to actually tell you the numbers. So thank you.